It is very cool.
No, for everyone.
For everybody?
It's helpful if you do it each time. Welcome. I'm very excited to start with Nevi'im. So we finished the Sefer Devarim last time, and now we're moving on to Nevi'im. To be honest, Nevi'im is not my expertise as much as Torah or Ketuvim. But I'm really excited to get to look at Navi in a different way, because it's always been something I've been challenging myself. Is I think when I originally learned Navi, I just learned it as like this war and that war and this war and that war. And at some point I was like, okay, I got it. As long as I can remember all the names that sound exactly the same, I'll do well in my class and still know nothing. So that's been my project over time, is to learn Navi and look at it in different ways. And so I'm really excited to get to learn it together and really try to approach Navi in a very applicable and interesting way. If we think about what makes a successful leader, there are a number of things that you could come up with. One would be their charisma, their ability to relate to the people, that they're in the right time and place for them to be leaders. Most people would not say that a key to success for a leader is following the most beloved leader of all time, taking over a people that is extremely nervous, and taking on that role right when they are about to enter a new stage of life. It actually seems like a pretty much a recipe for disaster. That if you always think about great leaders in history, you always feel a little bit bad for the people who follow right after them. It's never an easy job. On a very small scale, they talk about shuls that have the same rabbi for 35 years, and then the poor guy that has to come up after him and like give the drasha the first Shabbos. Nobody's going to like it. He could say the best drasha in the entire world, but he's following the beloved rabbi of 30 years. He's bound to fail. So we look at the beginning of Sefer Yosheva. We're going to read through Parak Aleph, and we're going to notice that Yoshua definitely fits this bill of someone following an extremely beloved leader. And we're going to see how his initiation as a leader is framed. So first we're just going to read through Parak Aleph. As you've seen, I've color-coded it to highlight some words that stand out. So it says, Vayhi acharimot Moshe eved Hashem, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua ben Nun, Misharit Moshe lemor. So it was after the death of Moshe, who was the Eved Hashem, Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua, Hashem said to Yoshua, Misharit Moshe, the servant of Moshe lemor, Moshe avdi mi, Moshe my servant has died, v'ata kum aver atayardin hazeh, ata v'chol ha'am hazeh, al ha'aretz asher anochi natan lahem livnei Yisrael. So Yoshua, the servant of Moshe, Moshe my servant has died, and now you are going to follow and you are going to take the nation into the land. Koma koma sher tidrach kafrag lechem bol lachem netativ. Every place you are going to stand, every place you are going to tread, I have given to you kasher dibarti el Moshe, just like I told Moshe. Meha midbar v'alavanon hazeh v'al nahar v'anahar hagadol nahar prat kol aret hachitim v'ad hayam hagadol. So this entire land, mivo shamesh yeg v'lchem, everywhere the sun shines will be yours. Lo yitzev ish lefanecha kol yemei chayecha. No one will come before you. Kasher hayiti im Moshe, ayayimach. Just like I was with Moshe, I will also be with you. Lo arpecha v'lo azvecha. I will not leave you. Chazak v'yamat. You should strengthen yourself. Ki ata tanchila ta'am hazeh et ha'aretz asher nishbati la'avoticham latit lahem. Because you are going to be the one to guide this nation into the land that I have promised them. Rak chazak mi'amatz, all you have to do is strengthen yourself. Me'od l'shmor laso kechol atorah asher tzivicha, Moshe avdi al tasor mimenu yamin u'smol. All you have to do is follow the entire Torah that I taught to Moshe my servant. Don't stray from it right or left. L'man taskil b'chol asher tilich, so that you will be able to do everything that you go to do. Lo yamush sefer haTorah zemi picha, you should follow the Torah. V'hagita bo yomam v'layla, you should learn it day and night. L'man tishmor laso kechol ha'katub bo, ki az hatzliach, so that you will be successful in doing everything it tells you to do. Etar kecha v'az taskil, and you will be successful. Halo tziviticha chazak v'yamatz, I have commanded you, strengthen yourself. Al tarat ve'al techat. Don't back down. Ki imcha Hashem elokecha b'chol asher tilech. Because I will be with you in everything you do. Ve'etav Yoshua shetrei ha'am lemor. So now Yoshua turns to the shotrim, to the heads of the nation. Ivru b'karav ha'machana, go throughout the camp, v'tzivu ta'am lemor. And command the nation, saying, Hechinu lachem tzeda, ki ba'od shlosha yamim atem ovrim et ha'yardin hazeh. Because in 3 days we will be crossing over the Yardin. Lavo la'rashat ha'aret, asher Hashem lo'kacha natin lachem l'rasha. Because we are going into our inherit Eretz Yisrael that Hashem has promised you. Ulu'uvini ulegadi ulechati shevet Menashe. Amar Yoshua le'mor. And Yoshua says to Reuven, Gad, and half of Menashe, which are the nations that were promised that they could stay on the other side of the Yardin as long as they come fight in Eretz Yisrael first. Zachor et ha'davar asher tzivatcha Moshe. Remember what Moshe commanded you. Eved Hashem, he was the servant of Hashem. Le'mor, Hashem elokecha miniach lachem v'natan lachem et ha'aretz hazot. Hashem has already given you this land, the land that we are currently standing on. Nishicham tapicham u'meknecham yashvu ba'aretz asher natan lachem Moshe. Your wives and your children and your cattle will stay on this side of the Yardin that Moshe promised them. The Ivar Yardin v'atem tavru chamushim lifnei achichem, but you will go out armed in front of your brothers. Kol giburay achayel v'azartim otam. You will go and help your brothers fight. Ad asher yaniach Hashem la'achichem kachem v'yarshu gam hema at ha'aretz asher Hashem elokechem notin lachem v'shavtem la'aretz yirashtichem v'yirashichem otav asher natan lachem Moshe. So don't worry, just like Moshe promised you, after you go in, you help them inherit the land of Eretz Yisrael, you may return and come back and take back this land that Moshe promised you. Moshe Eved Hashem be'ever ha'yardin mizrach ha'shemesh. V'ya'anu et Yehoshua le'mor, and they answered Yehoshua saying, kol asher tzivitinu na'aseh v'chol asher tishlechanu nilich. They say, we will listen to exactly as you do, and we will do everything you have sent us to do. Kechol asher shamanu al Moshe, just like we listened to Moshe, ki nishmai lecha, we will also listen to you. Rak yeh Hashem elokecha imcha kasher hayayim Moshe. Only if Hashem will be with you, just like he was with Moshe. Kol isha asher yimara et picha velo yishma et varacha, lechol asher titzivenu yumat rak chazak miyamat. Anyone amongst us who does not listen to what you are saying, we will not allow. Rak chazak miyamat. But we need you to be strong. So if Yoshua was hoping for a situation where they would just forget the leader that came before them, definitely not happening. It is clear from this parak, the entire first parak, that very little is said without mention of Moshe. All of the mentions of Moshe are highlighted in yellow. I'm sorry I didn't highlight any mentions of Yehoshua. But is anyone able to see how many times Yehoshua's name is mentioned? Three times, as opposed to Moshe's name, which I'm not counting exactly at the moment, is either 14 or 15 times. That's a big difference. This parak is very clearly focused on Moshe. And that's really setting the stage for what the environment was like at the moment. This nation had only ever known Moshe as a leader. And while they had known that Moshe was not going to take them into Eretz Yisrael, that didn't help them now that Moshe was actually gone. They were very nervous. Moshe was a leader that not only was beloved to them, no matter how many times everybody rebelled, they very much respected Moshe. That's why we are told at the end of the Torah when Moshe dies that we can't know where he is buried. It would have become a place of worship for them. It was not appropriate that Moshe was such a special type of leader that something had to change. They couldn't know where Moshe was buried. They couldn't make Moshe into a god. And Yoshua now has to step into that environment of Moshe so strongly being on everyone's mind and also entering Eretz Yisrael being on everyone's mind. So everyone is, rightfully so, very nervous about what is going to happen now that Moshe dies. So we have this frame of everyone thinking about Moshe, and this is where Yoshua comes in. Also, the highlight of Chazak V'Yamatz is repeated. The first time that there is the mention of Chazak V'Yamatz is when Moshe himself is speaking to Yehoshua. And he says to Yehoshua, Chazak v'yamatz, you should strengthen yourself. And Hashem very clearly is using the same words that Moshe said to Yehoshua in his own speech to Yehoshua. So we're going to come back to a lot of these comparisons. But clearly, the leadership of Yehoshua cannot be separated from its following of the leadership of Moshe. That there's a strong connection, we're not going to be able to separate that. So what I want to look at is some of the other parallels that are established between Moshe and Yehoshua. Firstly, there are tons and tons of comparisons, but what I want to look at specifically in the Pesukim is how both Moshe and Yehoshua are described in their relationship to Hashem. First of all, we saw in this parak that Moshe was repeatedly referred to as Eved Hashem. So if we look to the first time Moshe is called Eved Hashem, Shemot Yadalad Vayar Yisrael at Hayad HaGdola Asher Asa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, Ve'er'u Ha'am Et Hashem Ve'yaminu B'Hashem U'B'Moshe Avdo. That after Kriyat Yamsuf, when Bnei Yisrael realized that Moshe is truly Eved Hashem, after Kriyat Yamsuf, it says they saw this tremendous miracle that came through Moshe, and they saw Ve'yaminu B'Hashem, they believed in Hashem, U'B'Moshe Avdo. And that Moshe is now seen as an Eved Hashem. He is seen as in his connection to Hashem. So what about Yehoshua? Will Yehoshua ever achieve this same status? Yes. Yehoshua, at the end of his life, in Yehoshua Chaf Dalet, it says, Vayehi acharei hadvarim ha'ila, vayamat Yehoshua ben Nun, Eved Hashem, ben Meya ve'esar shanim. So Yehoshua is connected to Moshe in that same way, that both of them are described as Avdei Hashem. They both have this relationship to Hashem, of this very close connection of being Avdei Hashem. Next, both Moshe and Yehoshua start off a little shaky. They're both a little nervous, which I think anyone would be in approaching such a huge position. And in the way that Hashem reacts to both of them is the same. In Shmot Parak Gimel, it says, Vayomer Moshe el Halokim, Mi anochi ki eleichal paro. They're standing at the burning bush. Hashem says to Moshe, you are going to be the one to go down to Mitzrayim. And Moshe says, who am I to do that job? Who am I to go take Bnei Yisrael out of Egypt? Hashem says, I will be with you. And this will be a sign for you. Because I'm the one who sent you. So he's saying, Moshe, don't worry. I will be with you. You are going to take Bnei Yisrael out, and I will make sure that you are able to take them to Har Sinai. And again in Yehoshua, we just read that in Yehoshua Parak Aleph, Lo yitiatzev ish lefanecha kol yimei chayecha, nobody will be able to oppose you, kasher hayiti im Moshe, eheya imach. Just like I was with Moshe, I will also be with you. So not only is the comparison of the same words used, of eheya imach and eheya imach, but Hashem says specifically to Yehoshua, if you are worried that I was with Moshe, but I will not be with you, in the same way that I was with Moshe, I will also be with you. So that's the second parallel in the relationship to Hashem. Not only are they seen as Avdei Hashem in the way they connect to Hashem, Hashem is saying, I will relate to you in the same way. That just like I was with Moshe, I will also be with you. And lastly, they both have this moment before Bnei Yisrael where Bnei Yisrael realize how connected they are to Hashem. So it's not only their personal way of relating to Hashem and Hashem's way of relating to them, but there is a moment that is the same where both Moshe and Yehoshua are recognized by the people as having that relationship with Hashem. The first pasuk we already saw, that it was by Kriyat Yamsuf, where it says, Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. Bnei Yisrael realized this at Kriyat Yamsuf, that they saw that Moshe was connected to Hashem and that Moshe was Hashem's servant. And in Yehoshua, it's in Parak Gimel. Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua, Hayom hazeh achel gadlacha be'enei kol Yisrael asher yad'un ki kasher hayiti im Moshe e'yayimach. So Yehoshua's moment also comes after a splitting, which is the splitting of the Yardin. And Hashem says, on this day, Bnei Yisrael will, not only will you know that I am with you in the same way that I was with Moshe, but also through seeing the splitting of the Yardin, Bnei Yisrael will realize that I am with you as I was with Moshe. very interesting. I remember when I was looking at all different parallels between Moshe and Yoshua, I remember so clearly being in complete disbelief when I learned Sefer Yoshua for the first time, that I felt completely, like, I don't know, duped, that nobody ever told me that there was another splitting of water. I remember always thinking, like, I always learned about Kriyat Yam stuff, and then we got to this in Yoshua, and I was like, wait, what? Happens again? I just remember being completely blown away. So it's interesting. We're going to look at... So these are the three main parallels in how that Hashem emphasizes to Yoshua. That in the way that Yoshua and Moshe both related to Hashem, the same wording is used. In the way that Hashem relates to Moshe and Yoshua, the same wording is used. And in B'nai Yisrael... B'nai Yisrael's acknowledgement of the relationship between their leader and Hashem, it comes after the same event and the same language is used. But what are the other comparisons? There are many. Yoshua is seen as doing many of the same things that Moshe did. Not only is there another splitting of water, that Moshe split the Yam Suf and Yoshua split the Yarden, there's also, they both perform or command for the performance of Karban Pesach before a great event. Moshe originally commands Karban Pesach, and Yoshua is known for reinstating Karban Pesach. That it was not done in the desert, it was reinstated when Yoshua came. And also the sending of spies, that Moshe sent spies originally to scope out the land, and then Yoshua sent spies. They do it in different ways, but these are the same acts. The same actions, in essence. But also, there are many things that Yehoshua does that he doesn't just repeat Moshe, but he fulfills what Moshe had started. A number of these are the conquest of Eiver Hayarden. The conquest. Moshe started with Eiver Hayarden. That Moshe started by conquering the land from Sihon and Og. And Yehoshua obviously completed that conquest in Eretz Yisrael. So we see Moshe began the process, Yoshua completed it. Also, Ari Miklat. There was a commandment to establish 6 cities of refuge for accidental murderers to flee to in the event of a murder. 3 of them had to be established outside of the land and 3 inside of the land. So Moshe, before he died, wanted to do any last mitzvah that he could, and he established the 3 outside of Eretz Yisrael. And Yoshua completed this by establishing the 3 inside of Eretz Yisrael. Also, the inheritance of the 2.5 tribes, which we read about in Parak Aleph. Moshe was the one who originally made the promise to these Shvatim, and Yoshua carried it out. The Brachot and the Klalot. Moshe commands B'nai Yisrael before they go into, in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, before they go into Eretz Yisrael. He commands them that there will be a time that they are going to set up a ceremony of announcing everything, all of the brachot and all of the klalot that Hashem will give them based on their actions. And Yoshua follows through on this and carries out this ceremony. Lastly, in the giving of land, Moshe promises land to Kalev, and he also promises land to Benot Tzlafchad, and Yoshua follows through on those promises and makes them happen. Okay, great. So they're connected. We got it. Yoshua followed Moshe. A lot of similar things happened. This is always my question with parallels. That's beautiful. I was privileged to learn from Dr. Brian Alevi last year. She is an incredible educator who teaches in Matan. And she could come up with parallels between anyone and anyone. And she would say, okay, but who cares? Like, great. So she has a fantastic comparison between Moshe and Noach. But when she starts it out, she was like, okay, I can find comparisons. A lot of it is based on water. Like, I can compare any two people who have something to do with water. So whenever there's a comparison in the Torah, it can call our attention to something. But what we have to then think about is, what is the point of this connection? Why does it matter to us that Yoshua was similar to Moshe in a lot of ways, or that Moshe's life was still so present in Yoshua's life? So I wanted to look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, and it says, Zekinim shebo to hador amru. The wise people in that generation said, Pnei Moshe ki pnei hachama. The face of Moshe is like the face of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua ki pnei halavana. And the face of Yehoshua is like the face of the moon. So an interesting Gemara, it says, the elders of that generation say, the face of Moshe was as bright as the face of the sun, the face of Yehoshua was like the face of the moon. So that's another comparison. But this one we definitely don't understand. Those made sense, at least. Like, you saw them in the Psukim. What does this mean? What are Chazal teaching us by saying that Yehoshua is like the sun, like the moon, and Moshe is like the sun? And how does this relate back to our other parallels? So the first thing I heard, in the name of Rav Moshe Weinberger, he talks about that Rav Kook makes the comparison between the sun and Shabbos and the moon and Yom Tov. What does this mean for us? The sun is a constant. Goes up every day, it's always the same, goes up, goes down, goes up, goes down. It sets the solar calendar. And that's comparable to Shabbos. That no matter what human beings do, no matter how much we try to do anything differently, Shabbos is going to come when it comes. And for anyone who is a last minute cook, it's very apparent that no matter what you do, Shabbos comes when it comes. It has no human involvement. It is inherent Kedushat Hazman. That Hashem said every seventh day from sunset to sunset. Yes. Sorry, that sounded funny. Sunset to sunset is going to be Shabbos. And we have nothing to do with that. The Kedusha descends upon us. So Rav Kook says, the Kedusha of Shabbos is comparable to the sun. He says, what is different about the moon? The moon is comparable to Yom Tov. The moon is different every day. It's constantly waxing and waning. It's seen at different points in the sky, different points in the month. And as Jews, we base our calendar off the lunar calendar. And what does this determine? The Yom Tovim. If we never have Rosh Chodesh, so we don't, as human beings, see the moon and see at what point in the month it is at, and come to the basin and say, we saw the moon and it's Rosh Chodesh, then if we don't come and say that on Rosh Hashanah, 10 days later will not be Yom Kippur. If we don't see it until a day later, then Yom Kippur will be a day later. All of the holidays work this way. The holidays are all determined as being the 10th day of the second of the first month, which means that you have to know when the month started in order to determine the 10th day. And how do we determine the month? Based on human interaction. So Rav Kook is saying that the sun is set, and that's what determines Shabbos. But what is Yom Tov that's comparable to the moon? It's about human interaction. That if we don't bring the Kedusha into Yom Tov, that we don't declare it a Yom Tov, nothing will be different about that day. That Pesach will never descend upon us without declaring that it's Pesach. So the Kedusha of Shabbos is inherent, whereas the Kedusha of Yom Tov is human initiated. So we're going to read on in the source. I'm sorry that it's a picture of a source. I tried to make it as clear as possible. The Sefer Mizrach Shemesh, which is a Sefer by Rav Moshe David Val, I think you pronounce it. He was a Talmud of the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, and he writes a Sefer on Sefer Yehoshua and Shoftim. And he takes this analogy of comparing the sun and the moon to different things to help understand the Gemara that we were originally looking at. Don't worry, I'll connect it all back together at the end. So I want to read through this together. Vayehi acharei mot Moshe eved Hashem. Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua ben Nun mesharit Moshe leimor. So he's quoting the beginning of our parak, that it was after Moshe died, and he said to Yehoshua, who was the servant of Moshe, saying, Hinei kvar yadua, we already know, delo shilta sihara ad ish de'it chanish lemoshe gaba. We know that the moon cannot shine until the sun sets, that one cannot shine until the other leaves. V'lefi sheraglei yordot mot lefichach kativ, so that one needs to die in order for the other to come. Lefichach tiv, and therefore it says, Moshe avdi mi. This is why it tells us that Moshe died. We know if we're starting Yehoshua that Moshe died. It doesn't need to start by telling us that. So why does it tell us this? To teach us that Yehoshua was not able to take over. The light of Yehoshua could not shine until the light of Moshe had died. And we know this to be true with the sun and the moon. that while we may see the moon occasionally during the day, the moon cannot shine until the sun has set, that they can never be shining at the same time. Vamnam, ein kaima lelavana ki im be'or ha-shemesh. But there's also the inverse relationship. The moon can never shine if the sun didn't exist. That the moon needs the light from the sun to have something to reflect. Shemi'irla ve'ozra l'kiyo miniflata. That I really like this language, that the moon can never shine unless the sun encouraged it to get back up. Va'ad raza dadichtiv, Moshe avdi mi, va'ata kum avora teyardin. So that's why the pasuk says, Moshe avdi mi, Moshe my servant has died, and now get up and cross the Yardin. That Yoshua, you were not able to take over until Moshe died. But you have to use what you've gained from Moshe in order to get up now. So now that Moshe has died, now is your turn. You need to get up and you need to cross the Yardin. V'im zeh muvan yafeh. V'im zeh muvan yafeh inyan ma she'amar v'yechtov Moshe et hashira hazo. V'yitzav et Yoshua ben Nun v'yomer chazak v'yamat. And this explains clearly why it says at the end of Moshe's life that he said to Yoshua, chazak v'yamat. Ki ata taviyet b'nei Yisrael el ha'aretz asher nishbati lahem va'anochi ayeh imach. That Moshe said, Yoshua chazak v'yamat, I will be with you. Ki Moshe hu ha'medaber im Yoshua u'mavticho sheyihiyeh imo, deraza deshamsha denahir l'sihara. This is like the sun sustaining the moon. That Moshe was saying, Yoshua, you might be afraid that once my time passes, so it will be your time to shine, I'll no longer be there, so how could you shine? So that's why Moshe reminds Yoshua before he dies, Chazak v'yamat, strengthen yourself. I am still going to be with you after my death, that I will still be there sustaining you. That what I have given you now will sustain you in the future. Because that's the way the moon is also. Because they're never simultaneously shining, the moon is always relying on what the sun did in the past to carry it forward. V'ruchol shel Moshe ihu mamash nehora deshamsha deveil ilai. Eved melech kemelech lefichach tiv Moshe avdimi v'ata kum avor. So that again, that's why it says Moshe, my servant has died. Now get up and cross. Ki odenu chai haita hanhagat hashemesh v'yareach taflalo. That the I'm blanking on the word. The legacy. Thank you. The legacy of the shemesh of Moshe is still living on, and the moon is less than it. V'lachin katuv Yoshua benun misharit Moshe. Yoshua is always going to live in this kind of shadow, that he is still smaller. The moon is still smaller than the sun in our perception. Aval acharei mitzatu shel Moshe haita hanhagat halavana. But regardless of the size of the moon versus the size of the sun, now is the ruling of the moon. That now all we are left with is the moon. V'ashemesh me'irla ve'ozra l'hashlim et hanhagata. That even though Yoshua is lesser of a leader than Moshe was, he will never be on the same level of Moshe. Now it's the time of the Areach. That now it's the time of the moon, and the Shemesh is in the background, just sustaining the moon. Sha'arei ein l'kalach la'asot me'uma mi'bal dav. That the moon cannot do anything without the sun being there. Kishim shekan ba'olam ha'shafel ein ha'levanah me'ira l'tachtonim ilmalei ha'shemesh me'ira ala ber paneha. So how does this all connect together? We saw from Parak Aleph that Moshe is still very present at the beginning of Yehoshua's that Moshe is still so apparent at the beginning of Yehoshua's life. And why is that necessary? Because it's setting the scene for us. It's saying, just like the moon and the sun, there's an interdependent relationship. The moon can't shine while the sun is still up. But once the sun leaves, the moon must rely on what the sun gave to it in order to sustain itself, in order to reflect the light. So too with Moshe and Yoshua. That Moshe has passed away and Moshe has moved on. So Moshe is no longer there, and it's the time for Yoshua to shine. But Yoshua can't forget that what he is reflecting to Bnei Yisrael is going to be a reflection of Moshe's light. That he is going to be the one to continue on this light. And that's why Hashem constantly reminds him in the beginning of the parak, not only with Moshe's name, but also Chazak V'Yamatz, that don't fear, Yehoshua. Not only will I be with you, but the light you are reflecting, the light of Moshe, is still with you, and you are now able to reflect it to the world. And that's why I keep saying Chazak V'Yamatz. And if we notice at the end of the parak, the 2.5 Shvatim also say to Yehoshua, Chazak V'Yamatz. They say, we're still comparing you to Moshe, but as long as you are strong, you are going to be successful. That everyone is reminding Yehoshua that what he needs is to now shine in his own way, but using what he got from the past. So how does this relate back to the whole Shabbos and the sun and the moon and Yom Tov? That this comparison in the sun and the moon is very meaningful to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael is moving into a new stage. They are no longer going to be in the desert, which we talked about in Devarim. They're no longer going to be in the desert, where everything is just handed to them by Hashem. It is clear, why are they no longer in the Shilta HaShemesh, in the rule of the sun? Because that is not the type of Kedusha that they are going to experience going forward. The Kedusha of Shabbos, the Kedusha of the sun that is given to us, it's constant, and no matter what we do, it just keeps going. That was for the Midbar. How appropriate that the sun ruled over the Midbar, the desert. When they move into Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be different. It's going to have to be human-initiated. They're going to have to work at their relationship with Hashem. It's going to be like the moon. It's going to change. They're going to see it more and less over time. And that's why this is the role of Yehoshua. He's a different type of leader. Both types of leadership bring Kedusha, but it's done in a very different way. So how will this carry us through the rest of the Sefer and the rest of Nevi'im? Yehoshua introduces to them this idea that now it's going to be up to them. They're going to have to follow Hashem. They're going to have to do things on their own. We see in the progression also through the battles in Sefer Yehoshua. In the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua with Yericho, Hashem gives them the plan and they carry it out and all goes well. As it moves through the Sefer, the plans are less and less initiated by Hashem and more initiated by them. Hashem never leaves them. Hashem is always involved in some way. In the middle of the Sefer, it's plans they come up with and Hashem adds to. By the end of the Sefer, they're fighting their own battles with the knowledge that Hashem is with them. So moving through Sefer Yehoshua, they feel this presence of, they always know that what they have to do is follow Hashem and they will be successful. They have to work at it themselves and they will succeed. But Hashem is always there. But it is definitely a different experience from what they had in the desert. So then, how does this take us through the rest of Navi? Hashem specifically compares Moshe and Yehoshua. We said there were all the other parallels that we talked about, that it's nice, they both split the sea, they both did Karban Pesach, all beautiful things. But the meaningful things that we focused on were their relationship to Hashem. That Hashem said, you are going to relate to me in the same way, I am going to relate to you in the same way, and the people are going to acknowledge our relationship in the same way. Hashem is telling them, I am with you. It may look different, but I will still be with you. And all of their leaders throughout all of Nevi'im are going to keep reminding them of that. That what will be your key to success? Following Hashem. And what do they over and over again do? Abandon Hashem, serve Avodah Zarah, and surprise, surprise, that's when everything goes wrong. So what Hashem is saying, starting off Nevi'im with this strong comparison of saying, I was with Moshe so clearly. Now, even though we're in this new stage where you might not feel it all the time, it has to come more from you. It really is a different type of interaction. I'm still with you. I can still be there in the same way. And as long as you feel this and feel that Hashem is giving you what you need, feel Hashem's presence, you will be successful. So we're going to look at this throughout Nevi'im, how Bnei Yisrael do lose sight of this message. But to remember, if they remember all the way back to the beginning of Nevi'im, that Hashem is saying to them, even though your leadership might look different, it's all from Hashem. So Yehoshua may have been afraid, but in the end of the day, Yehoshua was one of our most successful leaders, that there was no rebellions in his time, they conquered much of Eretz Yisrael, and it comes back to this, that Moshe did fill Moshe's shoes, not in the same way, but in the appropriate way for his time.